From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Melissa Block. Edward Janos was 12 years old when he developed a potentially fatal blood disorder called aplastic anemia. He survived after he received a bone marrow transplant from one of his younger brothers. Now a healthy 18-year-old, Edward Janos is part of Radio Rookies, a program at member station WNYC that trains teenagers to create radio documentaries. Edward decided to interview his family members about his illness. He discovered that it had affected them in ways he couldn't recognize at the time.
What's your relationship to me?
Well, I love you. You're my brother. And you've done a lot of stuff to me, and I have done a lot of stuff to you.
My littlest brother, Ricky, was only 4 when I got sick.
Remember when I was sick back like 3 years ago? What? Tell me something about that.
You would look really tired, like if you were drunk.
How did that make you feel?
Really bad. I was like, oh my God, my brother's gonna die.
You thought I was gonna die?
Yeah.
I was in shock to hear that. I figured Ricky didn't know anything about death. Anyway, both my brothers would check to see which one could be my possible donor.
And then they thought it was Edwin, so they took a lot of blood out of him. A lot of blood. And then they found out it wasn't, so it was me.
My littlest brother, Ricky, was a perfect match.
And all I remember was that one doctor and my mom and dad, one night they put me in a room.
They open up 2 holes in the back, lower back part.
That's my father, Eduardo.
And from there they extract like 0.5 liter of the soda, I would say the coke, in blood from the bones in the back.
Okay, when I was sleeping, I felt like a machine going on my back. Like, it was like a turbo. And then I knew that they were taking something out.
I asked my mom if I was cured after my transplant.
We had to wait.
Even when there's a perfect match sibling, 20% of those transplants still fail. The first 100 days after transplants are the most important.
These are the most dangerous days because the bone marrow can be rejected.
All I really remember about the months after my transplant is doctors coming in and out and me just watching them. I felt like the world just kept moving and I was stuck in one place. My mom told me that I spent weeks without saying a word. I remember my middle brother Edwin bringing me a stuffed pillow that said get well soon. Instead of saying thank you, I kicked him out because I just wanted to be alone.
Everybody was telling me a lot of things that you had blood cancer or some kind of cancer, and I felt really sad because I was only 7 years old, and at the age 7 I needed my father and mother.
So what was your reaction to hear that Ricky had my exact bone marrow?
I was like, wow, I'm not a match. I'm not going to feel a little bit special more than him.
I never asked Edwin what he was going through back then.
I thought if I would give him the bone marrow, I would feel more special. But Ricky got the match, and he's special now to everybody.
Seeing everyone call Ricky a hero must have made him feel low. Before, I didn't think he cared he wasn't a donor. It wasn't his choice. After Edwin told me, I felt sorry for him.
If you die, you know it's my turn.
But I still pick Ricky's side when they fight, even if he's wrong.
You don't even know what ESL stands for.
Yes, I do.
What's it stand for? Come on.
Especially stupid people like Edwin.
And Ricky takes advantage of my protection and bothers Edwin.
Second leg.
What happened, Edwin?
Nah, this kid's mad at me.
Just leave him alone, all right? Just leave him alone.
I'm going to tell you this.
Don't tell him.
Shut up.
Just be quiet.
I know I won't be able to repay Ricky for saving my life.
Leave him alone. Let him play.
When I needed him the most, he was there.
Just leave it, Edwin.
My father was there for me by being on top of everything that had to do with my medical situation. He even kept people out of the hospital room to protect me from catching anything. My mom, well, my mom was always by my side. She told me that reading the Bible gave her strength to believe that I was going to be okay.
Me impulsaba a seguir adelante, en que no, en que nada iba a pasar, en que todo iba a estar bien.
Durante esa entrevista, yo te veo
I told her, you seem uncomfortable with this interview.
Sí, es cierto. Me siento incómoda.
It's true, I feel uncomfortable and sad because for me to remember these sad moments I went through, it's like I'm going through it right now.
Es como si lo estuviera viviendo ahora mismo porque me estoy devolviendo para atrás todo lo que pasó.
I remember my parents arguing when I was sick. They tried hiding it, but I knew what was going on. So I trapped my mom in the kitchen and asked her how their relationship was back then.
Pues normal.
Normal.
La verdad.
The truth.
Discutíamos. Porque a veces...
We argued. Sometimes I needed him and he wasn't there.
I asked her if they ever thought about splitting up. She stayed quiet.
¿Estaban separarse?
Sí.
Yeah, he has his way of thinking and I have mine.
Siempre se ha hecho lo que ella querido.
We've always done what he wants. My word has no say.
At the beginning, we were very tight, very close. We cried together. We have very good relations the first 2 months. After that, day by day, it will start deteriorating. We don't have nothing to say each other. In other words, she was all on you, and I was all on you. So I got nothing for her, she got nothing for me.
Hearing you talk about this, it makes me feel like because of me, my whole family could have been split up. And I feel guilty.
And I think it's pretty normal that this type of situation is happening because we weren't expecting to go through all that nightmare. But I never we blame on you. It could happen to me. It could happen to Ricky, to Edwin, to anyone.
In reality, me being sick did cause some problems. But I know my parents don't blame me for what happened. They're just happy I'm alive.
Out of all the kids that I entered the hospital with at the same time, there was Juan, there was Angel, there was that little kid, Joseph. How many of them are alive today?
Alive? Well, practically from those kids that you mentioned, no one is alive. Just you.
If I had never gotten sick, I don't think me and my family would be as close as we are now. Before, I would just say hi and bye. Now I sit down at the dinner table and I don't take them for granted.
Okay, is there anything that I forgot to ask you or that you want to tell me about or remember me?
No, everything is good. Everything is back to normal. Just the way I want it to be.
Okay, thank you.
For NPR News, I'm Edward Janos in New York.
Our story was produced by Miguel Macias and Kari Pitkin of Radio Rookies at WNYC.